And it's 801 at Mater Dei Radio.
The Senate passed a bill Tuesday that would make Juneteenth, or June 19th, a federal holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. The bill would lead to Juneteenth becoming the 12th federal holiday. It is expected to easily pass the House, which would then be sent to President Joe Biden for his signature. Juneteenth commemorates when the last enslaved African Americans learned they were free. Confederate soldiers surrendered in April of 1865, but word didn't reach the last enslaved black people until June 19th, when Union soldiers brought the news of freedom to Galveston, Texas.
And Catholics should take courage in the fact that even as Jesus was dying on the cross, his most agonizing moment on earth, he was praying for them, Pope Francis said today. Speaking during his weekly general audience, the Pope noted that even in the most painful of our sufferings, we are never alone. Jesus prays for me, Jesus prays for each one of us, and we can take this to heart. We must not forget, even in the worst moments. The general audience, which was held in the Vatican's San Damaso courtyard, was Pope Francis' final catechesis on prayer before starting a new theme next week. Pope Francis said that it was beautiful to remember that not only can we receive grace through our own prayers, but that we have also been prayed for by Jesus to the Father. The Pope also emphasized that in Jesus there is total salvation, messianic salvation, and that gives hope in the definitive victory of life over death. The prayer of Jesus is intense, he added, saying, "The prayer of Jesus is unique and also becomes our model for prayer. Jesus prayed for everyone from the cross. Jesus prayed for me and for each of you." So each of us can say, on the cross, Jesus prayed for me.
Cities and counties in Oregon could more than triple the sales tax they charge on recreational marijuana sold within their borders under a bill scheduled for a vote Wednesday in a Senate committee. If Senate Bill 864 is signed into law, local governments would still need local voter approval to increase the tax from its current maximum of 3% to the 10% allowed by the bill. According to Oregon Department of Revenue, 95 cities and 11 counties currently tax recreational marijuana, and the local tax is in addition to the 17% tax charged by the state, which would not change under the measure before lawmakers. So maximum, it could be a 27% charge, tax charge on use.
Think about
it before you head in. And a minor injuries were reported in a crash that temporarily closed Interstate 84 in the Columbia River Gorge on Tuesday. The fiery crash, which involved a tractor trailer and a car, happened at Rooster Rock, east of Corbett. According to Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, the freeway reopened at 6:20 yesterday evening.
Catholic bishops will consecrate the Middle East to the Holy Family on Sunday, June 27th. The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem announced the details of this act of consecration, which will take place in the year of St. Joseph, in a June 11th letter to his brother bishops across the Middle East. Patriarch Pierbista Pisabala said that it would take place during Mass in the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth with the participation of all the ordinaries of the Holy Land. In the letter, Patriarch Pisabala also said that the Catholic bishops throughout the Middle East would celebrate an annual Mass for Peace, also starting on June 27th, saying, "It has been decided that Mass should be celebrated in each one of the countries belonging to the Council of the Catholic Patriarchs of the Middle East, and thus all the patriarchs and bishops are invited to participate in this prayer and to be in a profound communion of prayer together on this blessed day. And members of the Council are present in Egypt, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, the Palestinian territories, and in Syria."
A rocket carrying three veteran astronauts bound for China orbiting space station module will launch from the Gobi Desert tomorrow, China's space agency announced. The three men will become the first Chinese astronauts to land on the initial stages of the space station called Heavenly Palace, which is still under construction in a low Earth orbit. The mission is the first of four planned missions, according to state media, and marks a significant milestone in China's rapidly expanding space program. In the past 7 months, the country's scientists have already successfully landed exploratory rovers on the moon in December. And on Mars in May.
Wow.
They're heading to space.
Yeah. Well, there's sad news in the fight for unborn life. A record number of abortions took place in England and Wales in 2020, according to new statistics. The figures released on June 10th show that there were over 200,000 abortions last year alone, the highest number since the Abortion Act of 1967 was introduced in the United Kingdom. A pro-life group said that the figure, an increase of over 1,000 from the previous peak of 2019, marked a devastating surge in abortions after the government allowed women in England to complete medical abortions at home in the first 10 weeks of pregnancy, allegedly due to the coronavirus pandemic. Michael Robinson of the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children said these statistics reveal a catastrophic loss of unborn life arising from the government's dangerous policy on abortion. And Bishop John Sherrington of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales called earlier this month for the temporary at-home abortion measure to be rescinded, saying, "We continue to oppose any change to make permanent the legislation, which has proven to be dangerous and fatal for pregnant women, and which has resulted in the tragic and needless loss of thousands of unborn lives." And out of Fargo, North Dakota, Eric Seitz was ordained to the priesthood in August of 2020, and 2 months later, his father was ordained to the diaconate. Father Seitz, now parochial vicar at St. John the Evangelist Parish in Wapeton, North Dakota, told Catholic News Agency that his father had been considering the diaconate for many years before it finally came to fruition. Father Seitz said that he had entered holy orders before his father did, but it was his father's holy example that helped nurture his faith to the point of discerning the priesthood. Saying, quote, "Just looking at things from my perspective, his example as a Christian man was what made my faith and helped me to learn about how serious our faith is in an age when so many people pass it off. So I would say it's his vocation as a Christian father that helped me to discern my vocation." Father Seitz added that he remembers his father Ben talking about wanting to join the diaconate when he was just in grade school, but he remembers his father saying he had to wait for God's timing to be right. Ben was unable to join the diaconate until after he had settled down and left the military, since the military archdiocese does not offer a diaconate program. Deacon Seitz ultimately earned a master's degree in theology, and his final formation took 5 years. And in terms for advice for those discerning their vocation, Father Eric had some simple advice, saying, "Stay calm, pray, and talk to someone wise that you can trust." So,
wise wisdom for all of us.
That's right.
And in sports, Justin Herbert faces high expectations in the 21 NFL season after his successful rookie year in 2020. The Los Angeles Chargers quarterback and U of O alum set numerous rookie records on his way to capturing the league's Offensive Rookie of the Year award. The Chargers now have a new head coach and new offensive coordinator who is installing a new offense for 2021. Herbert is getting plenty of off-season support this year, leading one website to rank him number 9 among the top 10 quarterbacks for 2021.
How about that? Oh.
So exciting news. Yeah. You know, last week when my folks were in visiting on Friday, my father, we're from San Diego. Of course, our team moved to Los Angeles.
Right.
But there was a long conversation in the hallway between my dad and David talking about this quarterback. He is exciting to watch.
Yeah. You get a few sports fans together and it's a lot to talk about.
It's time to find out what's going on in our Catholic community.
Today's the last day to register for the Journey with Joseph, an 8-part personal development program to get to know St. Joseph, but more importantly, to help you discover more Jesus, more joy, and more purpose in your everyday life. Presenters include Father Donald Calloway, Dr. Scott Hahn, Sister Josephine Garrett, and many more. And the link for more information to register for this can be found at the top of our website on MonterdayRadio.com.
And why do we suffer? We have the answer for you right after forecast.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Best Buy in Town Landscape Supply. Since 1984, Best Buy in Town has been supplying the area with landscape products and services, including bark dust blowing, rock, soil, sod, and recycler of yard debris. Located at 2200 Cornelius Pass Road in Hillsboro. Online at bestbuybark.com or 503-645-6665.
Please join Mater Dei Radio and Franciscan missionary Sister Anne Marie Warren with the morning offering.
Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with this holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit MaterDeiRadio.com.
June is the month the Church dedicates to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Mater Dei Radio is committed to praying for your intentions through our 3 daily broadcasts of the celebration of the Holy Mass, the Sacred Mysteries of the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and a wide variety of inspiring spiritual reflections. We also take your specific intentions to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus through Mater Dei Radio's prayer hotline. Let us know how our dedicated team can pray for you by going to MaterDeiRadio.com or call the prayer hotline directly at 503-285-3737. That's 503-285-3737. Or click the prayer button on top of the homepage at MaterDeiRadio.com. Throughout the month of June, Mater Dei Radio will be praying for you as we lead souls into the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
It is 8:13 here at Mater Dei Radio. We're looking out across the valley from the studio here. We've got some thin fog still kind of moving through the metro area that should be burning off, leading to a very nice day. Today, we're going to get highs across the region into the mid to upper 70s and a pretty nice breeze apparently into the afternoon, keeping it entirely pleasant. Overnight, we're going to bottom out in the low 50s, and then tomorrow we start a warm-up, and by Father's Day, we're back into the 90s. Monday looks to tick a little bit higher, getting us to the kind of low to mid-90s on Monday.
I'm ready for summer. I like it. It's currently 51 degrees at St. Stephen Catholic Church in Portland.
And it is 52 degrees at St. Mary of Guadalupe in Ridgefield.
Why do we suffer? And if God is love, why does he allow suffering? These are questions that everyone confronts at some point in life. Hi, I'm Aaron Earhart for Mater Dei Radio. And today I have the opportunity to speak with Dr. Paul Chaloux. Dr. Chaloux is adjunct professor of theology at the Catholic University of America and the author of Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. Dr. Chaloux, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Dr. Chaloux, I have to ask, because it's in the title of your book, why do all people suffer?
Well, all people suffer because suffering is unlike what most people think, is not evil. It's an evil detector. It's our ability to sense when we are threatened by evil, or more accurately, when we have lacking critical goods, because evil is the absence of good, not the opposite of good. That's straight from Christian teaching, right from Genesis, where God made everything good. So evil is just the absence of good, and suffering is the ability to sense that. So everybody suffers because everybody has evil in their lives somewhere, confronts evil in their lives, and so everybody suffers.
I see. Your book has a unique genesis. Would you mind telling us a little bit about the story behind how this book came about?
Yeah, that is a good story. completely unexpected. I started out with a dream. But in 2013, I had just gone back from my daughter's graduation at Cornell, and I had this very vivid dream that I needed to quit my job and do something more meaningful in my life, and that was to be teaching the teachers. Because I was a catechist at the time for like 20 years at St. Columba Church in Hopewell Junction, New York, and my DRE there had been telling me that I could do something more, and it just came to me in a dream that I had to teach the teachers. And it was so, that mantra was so stuck in my mind that I could not ignore it. So I started looking around to see what it took to teach the teachers. I found out I needed a doctorate in catechetics or religious education. I found out there's 3 places in the world, in the U.S., in the eastern part of the world that did that, Catholic University. Boston College and Fordham. So I started looking at each one of those, and I eventually took a online master's at Fordham, and then moved to a doctorate at Catholic University. And the week that I went to the week that I quit my job at IBM and sold my house and accepted a job at Catholic, I got diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Wow.
And the doctor who told me this in New York, he said, this is not a death sentence. You have 5 or 10 years of productivity in front of you. And I'm thinking, I got a 5-year doctorate program in front of me right there. So I didn't know where it was going to lead, but I was pretty committed at the time. So I go to Virginia, move in. First week I'm there, I need to get a doctor to prescribe some medicine for Parkinson's. So I find a doctor. First thing she says to me is, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm studying theology at Catholic University. She says, oh, then you know why people suffer. And I said, no, I don't. I had no idea why people suffer. She said, well, you should look into that because we need to know that answer because everybody asks me that question and no, I can never answer her and nobody has any answers for that. So, I said, well, it's not my field. She said, you still should study it. And it just stuck in my head. And so I started looking into it. And I found she was right. There wasn't very much many resources for it. If you look in the Catechism of the Church, big, thick volume, there's two references in the index for suffering, both involving Jesus on the cross. Nothing about why people suffer, although it's built into the bulk of it, but it's not obvious. You have to really extract it. And same as Thomas Aquinas' Summa, the thousands of questions it answers, not one of them being, why do people suffer? So I started looking into it, and the thing that immersed in my mind very early in the game was that this is why a lot of people leave the church, because they can't reconcile suffering with a good God. And so, I looked into it, and I studied for 5 years, got my doctorate, and here I am.
I'm speaking with Dr. Paul Chaloux, author of the new book, Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. Doctor, I noticed throughout the book, you regularly turn the world's kind of secular notions of suffering on their head, especially tying suffering to hope and joy. Would you talk a little bit about what can come out of simply changing our perspective and our thinking on suffering?
Well, the problem with secular view of suffering is that secular people look at suffering only in the terms of pleasure. If you don't have an afterlife to look forward to, and you don't have life after death, and you're not worried about being in union with God and enjoying the beatific vision, then all you have to look forward to is pleasure on earth and avoiding suffering. So obviously that's a problem. And so even 2,000 years ago, Epicurus, had this dilemma. He said, if God is good and God is powerful, why do people suffer? Well, if he's good, he wouldn't allow me to suffer. And if he was powerful, he wouldn't, he could stop it. Well, the problem is that he didn't realize that there's something more than pleasure involved with God. God's not worried so much about our pleasure, but our goodness and our ability to achieve eternal life with him. And so everything God focuses on is toward that end, not toward human pleasure. So suffering leads to joy, because joy is the ability for spiritual attainment is joy is the reward for that. So suffering is a points to joy. It's the opposite of pleasure. So right. That's why secular people can't understand it, because they can't recognize that there's a goal of something different.
I see. And you often turn to the parable of the prodigal son in the book. And what are some ways that this parable helps us understand suffering in relation to God the Father?
This is almost a perfect parable for this, because God the Father represents the Father and the prodigal son. The prodigal son is us, who wants to leave God. Mm-hmm. God doesn't stop us. In fact, he facilitates it. He let the prodigal son have the money that he was going to inherit. The prodigal son went and wasted it all. And then he suffered. He suffered hunger. And it was suffering that woke him up. And he realized that what he needed was what he had with his father, and that living on his own, he wasn't getting that. And so suffering forced him to recognize that problem and pushed him back to God. And God was waiting for him with open arms, as in the prodigal son, he waits for us with open arms. And he doesn't care about what we did and what we don't do. He just wants us back with him, back to him. And that's the goal of our life, is to be in union with God, beatific vision.
Very good. Well, Doctor, I have to say, I'm reading the book. I'm almost done with it, and it's just a very accessible book, but it's packed with quotes from the Catechism, from St. Thomas Aquinas, Pope St. John Paul II, and it's just rich with theology. And I'm wondering, what were some of the insights that maybe surprised you most as you were writing this book?
Well, the first thing that really got my attention was this notion that good was the absence of evil, not the opposite of evil.
Mm.
That was the first key, because that made that God could use evil for goodness. Because that you just what he would do is give us opportunities to find the good that we were missing. And that helps explain a lot of suffering, because suffering is often an opportunity to find the good.
Mm.
And so that was one of the major insights that I had. Well, the whole thing has been just a surprise to me all the way through.
I have to say it's been an enlightening read. The book is Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. Make sure to ask about it at your local Catholic bookstore or find it online through Sophia Institute Press. And the author is Dr. Paul Chaloux, Adjunct Professor of Theology at the Catholic University of America. Dr. Chaloux, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for writing the book, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
It is 8:23 here at Mater Dei Radio. What a great interview. Boy, so powerful, and what a great story he has to share.
Just an incredible man. I mean, still, you know, suffering from Parkinson's and just, you know, soldiering on, and wrote that incredible book. I mean, it's literally, I think he wrote the book on suffering from the perspective of like the lady who don't necessarily have it that way. I think it's a great book. Can't recommend it enough.
Well, if you want to listen to that interview again, head over to our webpage, because all of our locally produced shows, including that interview you just heard, going to be made into a podcast, and you can find it all at materdeiradio.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco Family Dentist, online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722. That's 503-252-1722.
No one likes to talk about death, and no one wants to plan for a funeral. But planning a funeral is much like planning for another major event in your life. I'm Priscilla Rodriguez, the Outreach and Special Projects Coordinator for Mount Calvary and Gethsemane Catholic Funeral Services. As we have gathered in our churches to celebrate the death of the Lord until he comes again, so our departed ones are gathered in our cemeteries to await the resurrection. All of us at Mount Calvary and Gethsemane Catholic Funeral Services are here to help you pre-plan your funeral arrangements. The benefits of pre-planning are many. At Mount Calvary and Gethsemane Catholic Funeral Services, pre-need burial space and services may be made calmly and responsibly. The program allows you to select only those goods and services you want, prevents the possibility of emotional overspending, and removes the financial burden from those responsible for your arrangements at the time of need. To find out more information, please go to our webpage at ccpdxor.com. Mount Calvary and Gethsemane Catholic Funeral Services, pastoral and compassionate care.
Hello, I'm Kevin Doran.
And I'm Carla Wehrman, co-host of Sunday Commentary.
Join us every weekend on Mater Dei Radio, Saturday mornings at 7 and Sunday mornings at 8, as we break down the scripture readings so you can better prepare to enter into the beauty and mystery of the Holy Mass.
It's fun, fast, and faith-filled. Let us share our love of the good news with you, Saturday mornings at 7 and Sunday mornings at 8 on Mater Dei Radio.
The bridge between your faith and everyday life.
It's joy. It's inspiration. It's the Morning Blend with David and Brenda on Mater Dei Radio.
It is 8:25 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, coming up in your news, we're going to talk about the Catholic bishops of the Middle East consecrating the Middle East to the Holy Family. And graduation season may be almost over, but we've got some highlights for graduates to talk about. That's in your news coming up.
And Dutch Brothers making a move to file for an initial public offering, thanks to the popularity among teens, including my own, could make the company worth billions. I'll have that story plus more coming up in about 4 minutes. This is Father Kevin McGoldrick, and oh God, you are my God. And you're listening to Brenda and Aaron on the Morning Blend right here at Mater Dei Radio, leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.
God, you are my God, for you I long, for you my soul is thirsting, is thirsting, is thirsting. Oh God, you are my God, for you I long, for you my soul is thirsting, is thirsting, is thirsting. You are my God, for you I long, for you my soul is thirsting, is thirsting.
And that is Father Kevin McGoldrick, O God, You Are My God. It's 8:31 right here at Mater Dei Radio.
All Catholics should take courage in the fact that even as Jesus was dying on the cross, his most agonizing moment on earth, he was praying for them, Pope Francis said today. Speaking during his weekly general audience, the Pope noted that even in the most painful of our sufferings, we are never alone. Jesus prays for me, Jesus prays for each one of us, and we can take this to heart. We must not forget, even in the worst moments. The general audience, which was held in the Vatican's San Damaso courtyard, was Francis' final catechesis on prayer before starting a new theme next week. Pope Francis said it was beautiful to remember that not only can we receive grace through our own prayers, but that we have also been prayed for by Jesus to the Father. The prayer of Jesus is intense, the Pope added, saying, the prayer of Jesus is unique and also becomes the model of our prayer. Jesus prayed for everyone from the cross. Jesus prayed for me and for each of you. So each of us can say, on the cross, Jesus prayed for me.
Cities and counties in Oregon could more than triple the sales tax they charge on recreational marijuana sold within their borders under a bill scheduled for a vote Wednesday in a Senate committee. If Senate Bill 864 is signed into law, local governments would still need local voter approval to increase the tax from its current maximum of 3% up to the 10% allowed by the bill. According to the Oregon Department of Revenue, 95 cities and 11 counties currently tax recreational marijuana. The local tax is in addition to the 17% tax charged by the state, which would not change under the measure before lawmakers.
Well, yesterday we highlighted some of the graduates from around the area's Catholic schools, and we couldn't leave anybody out, so here's a list of a lot of those that we needed to give an old tip of the graduation cap to. 27 graduates from St. Thomas More have graduated from, 27 have graduated from St. Thomas More School in Southwest Portland yesterday. 27 students also graduated from St. Rose School yesterday evening at St. Rose Church. The ceremony was streamed live on YouTube. 7 graduated from Sacred Heart School in Jervis. 15 students graduated from St. Matthew's in Hillsborough. 17 from St. Agatha's School in Southeast Portland, 36 graduated from Blanchett Catholic School, and 98 graduated from Marist Catholic High School, where Katie Rule is the valedictorian and Jack Thornton the salutatorian. Central Catholic High School graduated 187 students. Jackson Currier was their valedictorian, and Ali Sacamano was salutatorian. Valley Catholic High School graduated 85 students last Sunday, where valedictorians were Kayla Albertson, Paul Leal, Liliana Rosebrook, and Cameron Wilder. 29 students graduated from Regis High School, and 5 students graduated this year from St. Paul Parochial School in St. Paul, where the graduation ceremony details are yet to be determined. And then lastly, a special shout-out to Amanda Kinsey, who graduated from Western Oregon University of Art and Design. I think I know your sister, Amanda. So a hat tip to the fine Catholic staff at Catholic Sentinel who have highlighted all these graduates. Congratulations to everybody who's moving on to the next chapter in life. Well done.
Governor Jay Inslee paid a visit to the Port of Vancouver Tuesday afternoon to tour one of the terminals where a shipment of wind turbine blades is in the process of being unloaded and trucked out to a wind energy project near Wasco, Oregon. The port has positioned itself as a major import destination for wind energy components, bringing in components for more than 2,700 wind turbines last year, which contributed to a record-breaking financial year despite the hardships of the COVID-19 pandemic. Inslee went on a 15-minute walking tour past several rows of stacked 74-meter turbine blades. At a press conference following the tour, Inslee emphasized the skilled jobs involved in transporting and installing wind energy components and stressed the importance of wind energy and other renewable resources.
The Catholic bishops of the Middle East will consecrate countries of the Middle East to the Holy Family on Sunday, June 27th. The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem announced the details of this act of consecration, which will take place in the year of St. Joseph, in a June 11th letter to his brother bishops. Patriarch Pizzaballa said that it would take place during the Mass in the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth with the participation of all the ordinaries of the Holy Land. And in the letter, Patriarch Pizzaballa also noted that the Catholic bishops throughout the Middle East will celebrate an annual Mass for peace starting after the June 27th consecration. It has been decided that Mass should be celebrated in each one of the countries belonging to the Council of the Catholic Patriarchs in the Middle East, and thus all the patriarchs and bishops are invited to participate in this prayer and to be in a profound communion of prayer together during this blessed time. Members of the Council of Catholic Patriarchs of the Middle East are present in Egypt, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, the Palestinian territories, and in Syria. And sad news on the front for the fight for unborn life. A record number of abortions took place in England and Wales in 2020, according to new statistics. The figures released June 10th show that there were over 200,000 abortions last year, the highest number since the Abortion Act of 1967 was introduced in the United Kingdom. A pro-life group stated that the figure, an increase of over 1,300 from the previous peak in 2019, marked a devastating surge in abortions after the government allowed women in England to complete medical abortions at home in the first 10 weeks of pregnancy due to the coronavirus pandemic. Michael Robertson of the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children stated that the statistics reveal a catastrophic life of unborn life arising from the government's dangerous policy on abortion. And Bishop John Sherrington of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales called earlier this month for the temporary at-home abortion measure to be rescinded, saying, "We continue to oppose any proposed change to make permanent legislation which has proven to be dangerous and fatal for pregnant women and which has also resulted in the tragic and needless loss of thousands of unborn life."
In sports, Portland Trailblazer guard Damian Lillard has committed to play for Team USA during the 21 Tokyo Olympics this summer, according to a report from The Athletic. Also committing, according to the report, is Golden State forward Draymond Green. Now, Lillard withdrew from consideration to play for Team USA at the 2016 Rio Olympics in order to rest after playing most of the 2015-16 season while dealing with plantar fasciitis in his left foot. Team USA's training camp will run July 6th to the 18th in Las Vegas, with the first exhibition set for July 10th against Nigeria. The first Olympic game is on July 25th, and that will be against Team France. So, Damian Lillard going for gold.
It almost doesn't seem fair with most of the NBA guys playing in
if
the Olympics.
If you
want to
win
basketball.
A gold medal, you got to win it against the best in the world. That's the whole point of the Olympics.
I agree. I'm just saying it almost doesn't seem fair. That's all.
Okay, maybe a little bit. He's a pretty good player. We're excited for that and going to be watching. Well, in the swamps of New Guinea, a frog specialist has discovered a new species, which he decided to call the chocolate frog.
Huh.
Sounds delicious. New Guinea is discovered in a dense jungle and mangrove swamp. It's one of the least explored jungles on Earth, and it's filled, well, basically with everything that's trying to kill you, poisonous plants and animals. Well, the chocolate frog, or Latoria mira, was found in 2016, but analysis had to be given time to stack up before it was confirmed that rather than being a population that migrated to New Guinea, that it was in fact its very own species.
Wow.
So part of the difficulty, they say, is that Australian green frogs have been known to exist both in Australia and New Guinea, and they also turn brown. But subtle differences help the herpetologists make the call, including small patches of lavender skin around the eyes and the fact that the chocolate frog is smaller. And it's not very big at all. I mean, literally in just the palm of your hand, a little chocolate frog with big brown eyes. So God's creation is amazing, and we're still finding it.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
I'm not a big herpetologist lover. Is that a good word to say it? I don't like, I mean, we get frogs in the backyard and everything like that. My son, and it must definitely be on the boy trait, he has no problem grabbing things. In fact, just last summer I was digging up
a
corner.
It's not going to bite you or anything.
Yeah, a corner of our yard, and I pulled up some ground, which was kind of wet because of the rain. Big salamander. Yeah. There's not a pond around us, but there he was. And I, you know, kind of gently put everything back and I went and got my son. Oh, he hunted this thing down. He grabbed hold of it faster than he could even recognize what it was. He was excited.
Let me guess. If there's a bug in the house, do you put an upside down cup over it and then call the deacon?
Oh, no. We call Christian and just like leave. Say, hey, spider.
In that room somewhere.
In that
go
room,
in there.
Get after it.
It's time to find out what's going on in our Catholic community.
Today is the last day to register for the Journey with Joseph, an 8-part personal development program to get to know St. Joseph, but more importantly, to help you discover more Jesus, more joy, and more purpose in your everyday life. Presenters include Father Donald Calloway, Dr. Scott Hahn, Sister Josephine Garrett, and more. The link for this to register and get information can be found at the top of our website at monterdayradio.com, as well as our community calendar under the Get Involved menu for all the events in our area.
Well, what is the weather going to be like in the coming week? We'll have your forecast after the break.
Holy Family Catholic Clinic is a proud member of Mater Dei Radio's Leadership Circle. Located at 21810 Willamette Drive in West Lynn, Holy Family Catholic Clinic is Christ-centered and provides superior, compassionate, life-affirming health care to patients of all ages. Holy Family Catholic Clinic offers medical services that are in adherence to Catholic moral teaching and bioethics, honoring the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. Learn more at holyfamilyclinic.com. That's holyfamilyclinic.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Best Buy in Town Landscape Supply. Since 1984, Best Buy in Town has been supplying the area with landscape products and services, including bark dust blowing, rock, soil, sod, and recycler of yard debris. Located at 2200 Cornelius Pass Road in Hillsboro. Online at bestbuybark.com or 503-645-6665.
Why do you listen to Mater Dei Radio? Is it for the prayers, Catholic news and education, or to be inspired? Whatever your reason for listening, we are grateful for your support. And as we surpass 30 years of broadcasting a gospel message, we hope you will consider leaving a legacy for Mater Dei Radio in your estate planning. This can be as easy as including Catholic Radio as a beneficiary in your will. For more information on estate planning options, please visit us online at materdeiradio.com.
It is 8:42 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, there's areas of patchy fog still lingering about this morning, but it's going to burn off as things warm up. Sunny today and a high touching just at 80 degrees. Clear tonight, lows down to your mid-50s, and then Thursday and Friday, pretty much a near repeat of today, up getting into the 81s. Then the heat starts this weekend with highs in the mid-80s Saturday and Sunday near 90. Currently, it's 54 degrees at Holy Rosary Parish in Northeast Portland.
Is your family preparing to pack up the car and take the family on a road trip this summer? Well, you go through your don't forget list. Get the car checked out, the pets are covered, you even have a neighbor picking up your mail. But what if you get sick on the trip and you need to talk to your doctor? Well, have you prepared for that situation? Brad Hahn is the co-founder and CEO of Solidarity HealthShare, a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry faithful to the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. Solidarity HealthShare offers an ethical, affordable alternative to traditional health insurance. Brad is joining me once again this month. Good morning, Brad. Summer just around the corner.
Yes, good morning.
Brad, a long time ago, when I was a little girl, my parents packed up me and my two brothers and the car, and we drove from California all the way to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Well, by the time we got there, I was covered in chicken pox. You know, folks who might be traveling this summer with the family, how can they prepare for kind of that unexpected health issue?
Yeah, I'll give you a classic example of what happens. Even one of our employees was on vacation on the East Coast. And so since they're also a member of Solidarity, they got a respiratory infection. And so we had, they called our telehealth program. And the telehealth program, which we've seen kind of a really increase in telehealth since COVID, you know, because people didn't want to go to the, you know, emergency room and anything. They wanted to do stuff or online or via the phone. And so that's what's available to our members is. So our employee or member, I was able to get on the phone with our telehealth program and say, okay, here's what I got. Here's what the symptoms and able to diagnose this over the phone. But most importantly, too, is to get a prescription called in, you know, for the member just to make sure that they can get on antibiotics or whatever the treatment medication was. And so that can be a true blessing because now with technology and with telehealth we have at Solidarity, you know, your healthcare could be transported to other areas of the country, you know, and even still, too, is when I'm going to Rome, Italy next week. And so it's the same thing I'm going to use. If I get sick over in Rome, I'll be using our telehealth program, you know, from 2,000-3,000 miles away. And so it's nice having that benefit. And plus we got a really good staff of doctors And so that's kind of the first element we have. But there's another element I think we should focus on, too. And, you know, I remember my family vacations, how you just wanted to strangle your brothers, right? You
know, right.
By the end of the trip.
Yes.
And so, And so what we offer now, we're expanding our telehealth program to include mental health visits as well. Yeah. And so at the end of that vacation, you know, your mom and dad are ready to pull their hair out when they come back home. Telehealth's available for mental health as well. And we've partnered with a great Catholic solution. So it's very important to us for our members that they get Catholic, you know, solutions to their medical needs. And so we've partnered up with Dr. Popchek to have the top of the line, you know, Catholic counseling as well available through telehealth.
Well, Brad, I know we laugh and joke because, yeah, taking family vacations can be stressful, but it is great to know that when you do need that help, we know that there is a spiritual as well as a medical side to mental health. Knowing that you have teamed up with Dr. Popchek is fantastic to know. Brad Hahn joining me today. Brad is the co-founder and CEO of Solidarity HealthShare. Every year, Brad, when it's open enrollment, many of us, we get overwhelmed with those packets and this is your different options and they're going to compare everything to you. Well, when a person is ready to take that, just to break away from that, how do you recommend a person go about comparing Solidarity to the piles of paperwork? Because as we know in our different discussions, Solidarity is something completely different than traditional health insurance.
Yeah, and I think, too, we're seeing a lot of attraction to go back onto those exchange type of plans, you know, and we all know what the problems with the individual health insurance market is. You got conscience issues there mm-hmm. where you're going to be paying and sharing in contraception, sterilization, and abortion, number one. But number two is you really don't know what you're buying with insurance because you don't know what medical care costs and everything like that. And so what you really have to do is it's really hard comparing insurance to a health sharing ministry because, like you said, it's actually a completely different concept. But the big idea is you can just call in and start asking questions, and we have a process that we send potential members through so they have a further understanding of what health sharing is. But kind of the big picture is you go to a doctor, you go to an emergency room, you present your Solidarity, you know, health sharing card, and then hopefully that in most of the cases, the bill is sent directly to Solidarity, and Solidarity is able to take that bill and vet it for fair and just pricing to make sure you don't overpay for your medical care. And then if it's an eligible medical expense, then it's submitted to Solidarity, for the members, for sharing. And so we have a great new state-of-the-art program. We're almost a year now on this new program where we have a software that actually shares in it. So you can actually go online for a member care portal right now and say, Brad Hahn, I submitted this medical expense, and I see the five families that contributed to my account to make sure that medical expense was shared. So that's the aspect of it, is how do we bring a true community model together like that? And with technology, we can. And so also, too, is I can also send well wishes and thank yous to those people that help share in my medical expenses. And actually, and if I share into someone else's medical expense, I can actually send them prayers, you know, thinking about you, praying for you, glad we could help out here. So it's a completely different mindset. You know, with insurance, it's me against the insurance company, you know, try to fight with them, try to find the mm-hmm. doctors. We're trying to create a new experience where it's a community, where we work together with other members. We come together to support one another financially for medical needs and spiritually for, you know, the prayer needs that we need. And then also, too, is we have a program here now where we reach out to our members to see if they need pastoral assistance from their local parish or their local church if they're not Catholic as well. And so we can make sure that they get the pastoral care support that they need during a situation. And a great example of that is we had one of our members was diagnosed with cancer. It was in the hospital, and the husband called in and started asking questions, you know, and getting some of the bills processed and followed through our process. And our pastoral care representative reached out to him just to check in with him. You know, you're going through a lot right now. You're a young father. You know, you got four kids. Your wife's having some troubles now. Are you getting the pastoral care that you need? And so we were able to provide him and kind of give that trigger, that encouragement, that push, you know, to get them connected with their priest or their spiritual director or any type of, you know, counseling that they may need. And that's why it's so important for us to offer and share in mental health services, you know, because right now it's a trying time to be a Catholic, to try to follow your faith in everything we do. And we want to reach out to like-minded people. And there's a federal, you know, federal rules in that, too, is why we want to go to like-minded people is because they understand us better. We get better care. So if your doctor understands who you are and what you're about, you can communicate better, which results in an increase of quality of care. So that's why conscience protections are so important in federal and state laws. And that's what's recognized at the federal and state laws, why they protect conscience.
Well, Brad, we know that when you founded Solidarity, that was first and foremost on your mind, was that you were faithful to the moral teachings of the church. Brad, every month you are signing up new members. What have you heard from some members after they've made that switch? They are now with Solidarity and they are amazed. Can you maybe share with us, the thoughts that you've heard from members?
I think the biggest one we've seen lately is just the spiritual support, because we had a member with twins in utero, and one of the twins was not thriving, and so the doctor wanted to abort the twin that's not thriving. And so we were able to step in and counsel that mother and the husband to say, no, you can't deliberately, kill somebody. There's some therapeutic remedies that you could possibly go, and then let God to select if both babies go to term or not. And so there was just a lot of comfort, and we got a beautiful email from the husband saying, when I was at Adoration during my mother's surgery, I was just praying and thanking for Solidarity for helping us think through these moral and ethical issues in healthcare. It allowed me to make a better decision as a husband and my wife to make a better decision as the mom as well. And so that's the biggest thing we see coming from that. And the other thing we get a lot of accolades about is just our pregnancy program and how we have constant outreach with our pregnant moms to make sure they're doing okay, make sure they're getting the assistance they need. And those are the two big issues that I've been seeing lately.
Oh, amen to that. And prayers to you and all of you at Solidarity and your members. Where can our listeners, find more information and become a member at Solidarity?
Yeah, they can reach us online at solidarityhealthshare.org. That's solidarityhealthshare.org, or they can simply call us at 844-313-4999. That's 844-313-4999.
Oh, perfect. I appreciate all of your time today, Brad. And I heard in the interview you said you were heading to Rome. We pray that you have a very blessed trip.
Yes, thank you. And stay healthy, too.
Oh, you too. And again, that is Brad Hahn, co-founder and CEO of Solidarity HealthShare. I'm going to add the link to where it'll be real easy for you to get right over to their webpage. And you're going to find that on the podcast of this interview at MaterDayRadio.com.
It is 8:53 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, we've been talking about it all day, but today is the last day to register for the Journey with Joseph, an 8-part personal development program to get to know St. Joseph, but more importantly, to help you discover more Jesus, more joy, and more purpose in your everyday life. Great presenters include Father Calloway, Dr. Scott Hahn, Sister Josephine Garrett, and more. And the link for information and to register can be found at the top of our website at MaterDeiRadio.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including the Jade Bistro and Patisserie, located on Southeast 13th in Portland's Selwood neighborhood. The Jade Bistro is family-run, serving Vietnamese and Thai cuisine with influences from France and Laos. French pastries are available daily, open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Information can be found online at jadeportland.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco, family dentist, online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722. That's 503-252-1722.
Summertime is a great time to drive the open road, unless your old reliable wheels just aren't up to the task anymore. You know who could use that old car? Mater Dei Radio. You can donate most vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, RVs, and boats to Mater Dei Radio's vehicle donation program with the proceeds supporting a faith-filled Catholic broadcast, and in return, getting yourself a likely tax deduction. More information on our vehicle donation program at MaterDeiRadio.com.
Some are morning people. Others are not. Either way, we help start your day off right.
The Morning Blend with David and Brenda on Mater Dei Radio.
And it is 8:56 here at Mater Dei Radio. Already a beautiful morning in the Valley Heights today, getting us to the mid-70s. Overnight, we are in the low 40s. And then by tomorrow, starting that warm-up all the way to Father's Day.
And this is Matt Maher with All the People Said Amen. And you're listening to Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life. It's 8:59 at Mater Dei Radio. And just like that, Wednesday's wrapping up for us.
I am getting really excited because, boy, as this show went on, more and more blue skies started showing up. It is going to be a beautiful day. Yeah. So excited. Get outside. Enjoy it. Get all that yard work done just in time for the weekend.
Slap on a little sunscreen, people.
Well, that is going to wrap it up for us on The Morning Blend. Remember, Blazing the Trail with Miriam Marston on at 7:30. The podcast should be on before then.
Yep.
Have a very blessed day.